From St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas, a joyful Christian community, this is Soulful Sundays, a weekly podcast of our 5 o'clock service. I'm Patrick Miller, director of St. Mark's. Welcome.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
For thou art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, and Holy Ghost, alleluia. Sing
of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, Lord Christ. The crowd came together again so that Jesus and his disciples could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. But his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, he has an unclean spirit. Then his mother and his brothers came. And standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you. And he replied, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. When I was in 10th grade, I was a tennis player growing up, and when I was in 10th grade, I was trying really hard to join what we call the 100 Club, which is people who can hit a serve 100 miles an hour or faster. And I've been working really hard, and my serve is like the only piece of my game that ever saved me because I just was a nutcase in every other aspect. But I could serve. And so I would go out after practice every day in 10th grade and hit 3 baskets full of serves. And I was trying, doing it over and over and over again. I had my technique nailed. Everything was working, and I just, like, couldn't. I was, like, 97, 98, 97, 97. Like, I just couldn't quite get there. And I did this for a month, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, something like that. And my coach finally pulled me aside one day, and he said, well, you've been working really, really hard, and I know you've got this kind of like locked in and you're really working. Could we change this one thing? Could we change this one piece of your mechanics and see if that helps? And I'm kind of like an OCD mechanics person. So I was like, no, this is the way I serve. And he's like, just try it. Just one time, just try it. And all it was to change the way my feet worked. So for a long time, if you watch juniors, some professional players still do it, but you drag your back foot up to your front foot when you're loading your weight, and then you launch up into the serve. And I was a big foot dragger. I'd go through like 3 pairs of tennis shoes in 2 months because I just drag holes in the right toe of my shoes. And so my coach was like, don't do that. Just like leave your feet stationary. Just leave them just like this and load and launch. And I'm like, yeah, okay. What? I've been playing tennis since I was 5. Like, I think I know what I'm doing, but okay. So I did. And I did that for about a week. And 10 days later, 10 days, I counted them, 10 days later, I hit a serve at 101 miles an hour. Coolest accomplishment of my life. I don't know if I ever served that fast again. I don't know. They stopped clocking me after that. They were like, okay, we're done. We're done with this. But 10th grade, 10 days. All it took was 10 days with some new mechanics to like break this barrier that I just couldn't get through. When Jesus says Satan can't drive out Satan, who are my mother and my brothers? What he's saying is we cannot expect to do the same thing over and over and over again and have something new come of it. We've done it that way. We've tried it. Here's my nuclear family. Like, they're great. And we've done it that way for forever. And I am here to show you something new. But the newness costs you something. You have to change. You can't just keep going the way you've always gone. You can't keep doing what you've always done. We are at this beautiful moment in life right now as a church community, this really incredible kind of liminal space where we're kind of easing out of this pandemic, we hope, right? Like, slowly but surely. Like, I can see your faces. If you are fully vaccinated in this room, your mask is now optional, and I can see you, right? Like, this is like a big step for us. And we're just kind of, we're easing our way out. And I know, I can feel it in myself, this like eagerness, this antsiness to get back to life, right? But we're at a crossroads. Because we could easily just jump out into life and do exactly what we've always done. Exactly the way life was in 2018 and 19 and 20. And get the same results. And those results were pretty good, right? Like, we had good lives before the pandemic. But what if Jesus is inviting us into something new? What if there are behaviors or attitudes or perspectives that you or I or us together could have the courage to leave behind as we re-embrace the fullness of life and community? What newness, what new life, what new relationships could come out of the courage to face our future with creativity, with an openness to trying new things, with experimenting and failing and falling and succeeding and all of the things that come with trying out something new? We could do things the way we've always done them. It would be easy. It would be easy. God does not call us to the easy life. God calls us to the good life, right? That's what our collect says today, to the good life. And God's goodness comes in constantly letting new life bloom up out of the ground and out of ourselves, right? That's what Jesus' resurrection is. So I hope this summer, as we kind of start to regather in more bountiful ways and more fully and wholly, and we move into the fall and we think about what life will look like in 2022, that we have the courage to let it unfold instead of trying to force what we wanted from before onto what is coming ahead. Satan can't drive out Satan. God is doing something new. You are my brothers and my mothers and my sisters now, right? That's what God can do for us. May we have the courage to seek after that and to be open to it when it embraces us. Amen.
Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore, Jesus.
This episode was produced by St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas. Special thanks to our band, led by Cameron Deason-Hammond, and featuring Jeremy Nuncio, Asher Pudlow, and Andrew Gordon. Join us every Sunday for Soulful Sundays at 5 p.m. at St. Mark's, 3816 Bel Air Boulevard in Houston, Texas, or visit us online at stmarks-houston.org.